This podcast is a production of Faith Living Church. If you like what you hear, join us for church sometime at our Plantsville, Connecticut location, Saturdays, 6 p.m., or Sundays, 9 and 11 a.m., or online, anytime, at faithlivingchurch.com.
We'd like to talk to you this morning about building radical faith with the words that we say. Oh, yeah, I forgot to turn it on, didn't I? I still remember how. I think. Are we good?
You're good now.
Okay, thank you, sir. Building radical faith with the words that we say. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Overcome by Jesus. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death."
Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Then God said,
let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day.
Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day.
Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the water seas, and God saw that it was good.
Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seed produced plants and the trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day.
Then God said, let great lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them mark off the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day.
Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. And
then God said, Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild game, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along on the ground." And then God said,
"Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all He had made, and He saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day.
Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You know, our speech, our words can kill or heal us. God has deposited that within each one of us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that says, "For if you confess with your mouth," and confession talking about words, "if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved from your sin and its consequences. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth, words, that you are saved." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "We are not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, 'I believed it, so I said it.'" We say what we believe. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message, it says, "Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Are your words productive or are your words destructive?"
There's a song by the name of Words by Hawk Nelson. It says, "They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal, made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down, start a fire in your heart or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. You can heal the heartache. Speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. Words can build us up. Words can break us down. Start a fire in our hearts or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Let the words I say be the sound of your grace. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. I want to speak your love, not just another noise. I want to be your light. I want to be your voice. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Let the words I say be the sound of your grace. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Words can build us up. Words can break us down. Start a fire in our hearts or put it out. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you.
Words are very powerful. They genuinely are. And God has created us in His image, and He gave us the ability to speak these powerful words. You know, 12 words divided up between three people changed my life. You know, I spoke 4 words one time, and it changed my life. Will you marry me? That was to my bride here, and she only answered one.
Yes.
She said yes. So, and the preacher says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. So I spoke 4 words, she spoke 1, the preacher spoke 7. Those 7, you know, and 4 and 1 words, that impacted my life. A positive word makes you feel good. A negative word leaves you feeling depressed and defeated. Words release energy. A single word can turn you on or turn you off. A negative word can diffuse your enthusiasm for a project. A positive word releases positive energy and becomes a creative force. Our ability to speak comes from being created in the image of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. That's why our words have creative power. Don't say things like, I'll never succeed. I don't think I'll make it physically, you know, or in business. I'm a loser. Those are the kind of words that we should never speak, you know. Our words affect us, and our words affect others. Here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Your words can ensnare you. And it's easy to talk yourself out of a dream or say, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And it might just sound so simple and all, but it's so powerful because you create with your words. That's the way God has created each of us. So in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You cannot talk defeat and expect victory. So if you're talking defeat, you're not going to really receive victory. You can't talk lack and expect an abundance. You'll produce what you say. With our words, we can curse or bless our future. So be conscious of what we say and let us learn God's words to speak. He says here once again in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words have life and death in it. Our words are like an elevator button. You can push this button and you can go up, or you can push that button and you can go down. And our words are like that. The moment you speak your words, they take root and they begin to grow. And many thoughts should be cast down as soon as they're spoken. Because we don't know how powerful our words are oftentimes, and the things that we say, good or bad, we don't really know that.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will, His words, in all you do, and He will show you which path to take.
So, what are you saying about your future? Think about that. What are you saying about your family? So, what are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your health? Because our words dynamically impact all those things. Because our words, like God, has creative power in it. You know, some folks only talk about the black dot. You ever talk about the black dot? You ever talk just about the negative stuff? I think I have one here somewhere. Yeah. Here you go, dear. I don't think we need those black dots, do you?
No, we need to cast down
because
those black dots.
They represent the negative things that we can say.
Yeah.
And we don't need that. We need to speak positive kinds of things. We really do. We should never say, I'm not good at parenting. I'm unattractive. I'm ugly. I'm clumsy. I'm stupid. I can't do anything right. I'm a failure. Nobody loves me. I wish I was never born. Well, we should speak positive, radical, you know, faith-filled words about ourselves and about one another. We should speak those positive things, and maybe you never knew it before, but God had created you in His image with the ability to speak, and that changes things, genuinely changes things. Whatever you're talking about, you're creating that as you're talking about it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, in the Message Bible, it says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. So do your words and actions and whatever, do your words honor God? Think about that. Because you're creating whatever you're actually saying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, we shall speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ.
Further down in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let everything...
Everything. That's talking about 100%.
Everything you say be bad and hurtful.
No. Good and helpful.
Good and helpful. Let everything you say be good and helpful. In the Message Bible, it says, say only what helps, each word a gift.
It's a gift to yourself, but it's a gift to other people as well.
1 Peter chapter 3, 9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life,
and I'm sure you do,
and see many happy days,
and I'm sure you do,
keep your tongue from speaking evil.
Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Mm-hmm. Don't let your tongue say things that are not appropriate. Mm-hmm. Because we're creating the image of God, and we're really dishonoring God. And we're creating negative things when we're letting those things slip out of our mouth.
Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Be careful with your words, because once they're said, they can only be forgiven, but not forgotten. We remember the words that people say about us and the things that we say to others.
Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, do to others as you would like them to do to you. Speak only good and helpful things to other people. Do good. And we need to know that's what God says in His Word. Mm-hmm. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. We need to be positive because we are created in the image of our Heavenly Father. He says here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, in the Message Bible, it says, be gracious, kind in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others. And may this become your prayer. In Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my mouth and my heart, you know, meditation of my heart, what I'm thinking, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Don't get up in the morning with the blahs saying, well, I'm going to have a lousy day. You ever start off that way? You know, that's really not pleasing to God, you know. But you can get up every morning and say, I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a great day. Something good's going to happen to me today. When one door closes, God opens. He always opens another. And you tend to believe what you say about yourself more than anyone else. So we need to be saying positive things. We need to be saying what God's word says about us, you know. So don't talk about that black dot. I know we put them out right here, but we need to talk to God. We need to speak his word and not just talk about the black dot. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is full of living power." The Bible, whether you're reading it or whether you're quoting it, it's full of living power.
There's a song that goes, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way." Now that's a positive way to go throughout your day.
It is.
Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, "As it is written, I," that's speaking about God, "have made you," and that's talking to Abraham, "I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Abraham had no children, but God said, "I have made you a father of many nations." Years before Abraham ever had a child, that's what God said about him. Also Gideon. Gideon was hiding. There were enemy armies attacking, and he was hiding, and an angel of the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. God spoke that about Gideon.
Joel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." That almost sounds like you're not telling the truth. If you're saying, "Well, I'm weak," and you're saying about yourself, "Well, I'm really strong." God's the one who said, "Let the weak say, I am strong." It's the truth. We need to speak the truth. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One, you know. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." The Bible says to do that. And he says, "Let the poor say, I am rich." And you might not have any dollars or cents, but he says, "Let the poor say, I am rich." That's what the scripture tells us to do because of what God has done for us. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, "At the moment, I have all I need." This is what Paul's saying. "At the moment, I have all I need and more. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs." He's saying, "I have all I need, and you're going to have all that you need." He's going to supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? We're in a situation to receive the blessings of Almighty God.
Matthew 12:33 says, "A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." Our heart overflows through our mouth. So whatever's in our heart, we're going to be speaking about. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. We're held responsible for our words.
That's right.
And I tell you this, it says in verse 36, "You must give an account on judgment day for every idle or careless word you speak." Our words shape our world. The words you say will either acquit you, which means to clear, release, or set you free. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. There's a song by Toby Mac that's called "Speak Life." And it says, "Some days..."
And this is good advice
for
us.
It is.
It is a song, but it will remind us of what is filled with in God's word.
Yeah.
He tells us, "Speak life."
Some days life feels perfect. Other days, it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. It's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die.
So and what is hope? The word hope is a confident expectation for the future.
That's right. So speak life. Speak life. When the sun, to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life. Speak life. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. Speak life. Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as a heart of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life. Speak life. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. You speak life. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life. Speak life. To the deadest, darkest night, speak life. Speak life. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. When you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life.
I think that whole verse there is talking about speak life.
Yep.
To one another. At every opportunity we have, speak life. May God's ways, God's thoughts, God's words become our ways, our thoughts, our words, and let's fill our hearts with His Word. You read the Bible, you hide the Scriptures in your heart, you think about them, you ponder them, you pray them. He says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "For the Word of God is full of living power." Living power. That's creating power. He says, "For the Word of God is full of living power." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3 says, "Come to me with your ears wide open and listen, and you will find life." That's what he's telling us. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, "The rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." And then Isaiah 55, 11, it says, "It is the same." It's the same as planting stuff and it's growing. That's in verse 10. This is verse 11. "It is the same with my word." This is what God's saying. "It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to." That's what God's saying. "And it will prosper everywhere I send it." Bringing transformation. That's what he's talking about.
In 1994, a 67-year-old carpenter named Russell Edward Herman died of cancer in Marion, Illinois. In his last will and testament, he donated the following: $2.41 billion to the Ohio River town of Cave in Rock, $2.41 billion to the city of East St. Louis, $1.5 billion for projects in southwestern Illinois, and in a final act of unprecedented generosity, he bequeathed $6 trillion to the Federal Reserve Board to pay off the national debt.
You know, there's only one problem here. At the time of his death, the only thing Mr. Herman actually owned was one car. And he was broke. How'd he do that? Do people ever say what they don't have the ability to back? Mm-hmm. You know? He had great intentions, but he lacked the resources that he needed to make them a reality. The greatness of God stands in sharp contrast.
That's right.
God not only has made great promises, Almighty God has the ability to follow through on every single promise that he's ever made. God can do that.
He does. And he's given us the Old and the New Testament.
He has.
His will and testament. And he has everything to back every one of those promises.
And it's something that we have accessible to us all. We can hide his word in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We can memorize it. We can apply it to ourselves. We're created in the image of God, and that makes a difference in our life. When we know what his word says, and we speak it out, and we pray it out.
That's true. But you know, it's like an unclaimed treasure. If you don't read it, you don't know what his promises say. If you don't know what his promises say, you can't claim it, and you don't experience it, and you're missing out. God has given us a book, a whole book, full
right.
of his promises, his will, his word, that he will back up every time. He will never fail. I love that song that we were singing today. He won't fail. He won't fail.
He won't.
Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things were written in the scriptures long ago were to teach us, both the Old and New Testament, and the scriptures give us hope.
A confident expectation for the future.
The scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled.
As we wait patiently for the promises. It's really good when we know what those promises are.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that they're being fulfilled or not. I mean, it's life-changing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. Committed faith, and then they get everything that's promised to them. What are you talking about? Will that be talking to all of his creation? We're created in the image of God.
He wants us to stay the course. Don't get distracted.
You're right.
Don't go down side trails. Don't go down detours. Stay the course.
Peter stepped out of the boat. He walked on the water with Jesus when Jesus had come.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty miraculous. And what does he say to us? Do we read that book? Do we apply it to our own life or to our loved ones? Acts chapter 27, verse 25 says, so take courage, exclamation mark, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. Take courage. I believe God. It will be as he said. God's word does make a difference. Do you believe these promises? They do genuinely make a difference. Maybe we don't trust God or believe his promises because maybe we lack integrity, our own selves, you know, or we've broken our promises over and over and over. But God created us in his image, and he has given us his word to speak his words that do come alive. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. Men lie, Satan lies, you know, God is not human, so he does not change his mind the same way humans do. They're double-minded and they're fickle. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Not once.
No.
God fulfills his promises. That's just the truth of it. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Nope, but people do that all the time. But God does not do that. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, it says, not one word has failed, not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he gave through his servant Moses. That's the promise of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. That's just one of hundreds of them that's in the Bible. Verse 57 says, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. This is what Joshua chapter 21, verse 45 says. Not a single one of all the good promises And this is God saying this. Not a single one. Now see, we need to learn how to appropriate his promises. We need to have to say them and not, you know, degrade them with negative words. Not a single word of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Not a single word was left, not a single promise was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken, what's that say there?
Came true.
Everything he had spoken came true. God has created us in his image, and we can apply the things that he has given unto us and value his word and read it and hide it in our heart. Galatians chapter 3, 29, it says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs
to you.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham has been blessed by God in so many ways, the seed of Abraham has. And he says here, you are the heirs of God's promise to Abraham, and they belong to you. Mm-hmm. The promises that you can read that came to Abraham also come to us. That's what he's telling us right here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. That's that confident expectation. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You can count on that. Whatever God says, and we need to just begin to apply that over and over and over. All the promises, hundreds of promises in the Bible, we need to apply those, memorize those, hide them in our heart, pray them, speak them out. 2 Peter chapter 1 in the Message Bible, it says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. And his name is Jesus, his son. The best invitation we've ever received was through Jesus when he received us into relationship with himself. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. The Message Bible uses that word, your tickets. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God. We have been given a ticket into a relationship with Almighty God through what Christ has done for us, and he actually calls it here a ticket. Papa God, we just ask your blessings. We just heard an emergency vehicle out there, and we know someone was in need, and we ask that you just meet their needs.
Yes, Lord.
According to your riches and glory. Bless them, we ask, in Jesus' name. God makes a promise. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it, and patience quietly awaits and receives that promise.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say.
Now, who said that?
God is saying that to us.
He's saying, pay attention?
Pay attention.
Do we ever not pay attention?
Sometimes we get distracted and we don't pay attention. But he says, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words.
Listen how?
Carefully.
Listen carefully to his words. What God is saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying in his word, when we read it, you know, listen carefully to my words.
Don't lose sight of them.
Is it possible for us to do that?
Yes.
There are so many things to watch and to pursue that we can lose sight of them.
Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they, God's word, brings life.
They bring life. So he says, pay attention to them. Listen to them, you know. Don't lose sight of them, because they bring life to those who find them. and healing to their whole body. That's what he's telling us.
The Message Bible says in verse 22, those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul, they're bursting with health. Bursting with health.
And the last verse we want to read to you today is found in Psalms 107. He says, he sent out his word. God did. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for his wonderful things that he has done for them. He sent out his word. His word heals and works restoration in our physical bodies. Now, it says it hundreds of times throughout the Bible, and the Bible is the only book that's 100% true. Mm-hmm. And you can take God's word to heart, and you can apply it to your life, and it will genuinely change things in us.
Even at times when you're sick, or your loved ones are sick, your kids are sick, your parents are sick, whoever, you know, it's the best, one of the best things you can do for them is to read God's word to them. Because it says here, his words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. He sent his word to heal us. You know, when our kids were sick, when they were little, we had two different sets of DVDs. One was the Gospel of Matthew and one was the Book of Acts. And it was word for word the scriptures, but it had, you know, people acting them out. There were tremendous.
But it was word for word.
Word for word the scriptures. And our kids, that's all they watched and listened to was God's word, you know, when they were sick. You know, and it brings healing to our bodies. So it's, we have it so accessible today. We can read it, of course, in our book, our Bible, you know, but we can listen to it on our phones, you know, with the YouVersion app. It's amazing.
It's right there.
Carrying it around in your pocket. You can listen to it when you're on the road, you know. You can't read while you're on the road, but you can listen to the YouVersion, you know. You can listen to God's word, and it brings life to those that find his word, health to all of our flesh. It's one of the healthiest things you can do, is to listen to God's word and then apply it. Take it to heart.
You're right. So what we would like to do at this point in time, we'd like to just pray for you. And we would challenge you to continue to take God's word, because you can read it anytime you want to. You know, as long as you're not driving, you can use it. You can have someone else to read it to you. And you can share it to you. But it changes us. It changes us. On the inside and on the outside, it helps us to be transformed, to experience the power of Almighty God in our life. So if we could, just for a moment, just bow our heads. And I'd like just to pray a blessing upon each and every one of you. Papa God, thank you for the men and the women who are here this day. I ask that your power would be released in them, and that faith would be released and each one, and that they would begin to experience your transforming power that you have sent when you created us many, many years ago. Oh, Papa God, may your healing power flow to each and every one who is sick and who needs your healing power flowing to them today. Meet their every need according to your riches and glory, as you said that you would do in your word. Bless our friends, oh, Papa God. From head to toe. Bless them, Papa God, with wisdom, with insight. Just bless them what it is that each and every one needs. And we ask that you would stir up the faith inside them, that they'd believe you, they'd take you to your word, and they'd begin to apply your promises to their life. In the name of your Son, Jesus.
If there's anyone today here that has not accept Christ as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. And we do that by simply following what it says in Romans 10, to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. If you would like to do that, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Would you join me? And those of you who know Christ as your Savior, would you join us as well as we would reaffirm our faith in our loving Savior? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe that you sent your Son Jesus.
That you sent your Son Jesus
to die on the cross.
To die on the cross
in my place.
In my place
to pay for my sins.
To pay for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me.
I believe
that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead to give me a new life today.
I accept Jesus
as my Lord and Savior
and I desire
and commit myself
to live for Him
all the rest of my days. In Jesus' name.
Amen.